Welcome to the Overreact podcast.
And in a society that puts women in a box,
let's overreact.
I am your host, Monica Muhoya.
And I am a woman.
I'm Angela Womboy, and I am a woman.
And I'm Lasha Angela, and I am a woman. So let's overreact.
Let's overreact.
Let's overreact, ladies.
A platform where we have uncomfortable conversations.
And we challenge the narrative of the woman.
And of course, we react in a safe space, free of judgment.
And for the motivation is to say that there is no box.
We can think inside, outside, and even shape it.
Even there's no box because we can exist in any way, form, and shape.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So before we got to overreact, it started off as Sister Speaks. And as we said before, there's Lush, there's Mo, there's Angela. And how Sister Speaks came about is because of a conversation that had happened between Mo and I. Where we had come together as friends and we were going through stuff. And when we left there, we felt quite charged, I think you'd say.
Right.
And we felt better for it. And we thought, oh, it would be nice if we could like create a platform where we can bring other women together, create events and, talk about this stuff. And as Angela had mentioned, create a safe space. And so it started off as a conversation. We started to develop ideas. And then Angela, Lush here, who's speaking, knows Mo and Angela separately. So I'm the connector, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So during our conversation with Mo, I like kind of put it out there. Maybe we could do an event for a vision board because it was like at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And then Angela was curious because that's something that she's been interested in because of her sisterhood. And so that's how we became a trio, now known as Sister Speaks. And, you can follow us on our Instagram and our platform at Sister Speaks 254. But each of us have a different story as to why this is important. Because I've talked so much, I'll say why it's important for me last. But I'll let Mo go first and then like Angela can, feed into it as well.
Yes, the coming together of Sister Speaks, it started as a conversation to express ourselves, to evolve as a woman and have some sisters to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. And initially it was a girl's corner. So we'll sit in a corner of a restaurant, of a compound and just have conversations that, I feel behind imposter syndrome. You feel like you're late in achieving some certain things. Yet we were not the only ones feeling this way. So we wanted to bring women in the same room and just talk about triumphs and trials and celebrate each other's and one another as sister collectively. And that's how I got to meet Miss Angie.
Yes, like Lush mentioned earlier, we all three connected. We did our first little event in Mo's backyard, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Where we each invited five friends each. And we saw that there was a void, that women yearned for connection and connecting with other women of substance. And yeah, that's what has really bonded us, because we want to empower and uplift other women.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it'd be important for people who are listening or who are even watching this, for them to understand our story, our personal story as to why sisterhood, coming together as women, is important. For me, my story started in 2011, and I watched Sheryl Sandberg being interviewed by Oprah and talking about her book, Women Lean In book. And she was saying, she doesn't understand why, which I was very guilty of, where you are, where at like 18 you plan, you're gonna get your degree, and then at some point you're gonna get married and then take time off, and like you plan all these things, but that might not be the case. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so guilty of that. And I thought, okay, cool, she's helping women to like change their thought process and be women who want to sit in boarding rooms, be women who are not scared to go for those big roles. But I was like, so who's gonna help the girls? And so me living in UK, I started something where I was helping the girls in my community. And when I moved, that was my aim when I moved back to Kenya, is to do something for girls. And we've been very fortunate. We'll go into it as you guys get to know each other. We also run a charity called Heels for Pads, where we help girls with menstrual products. So I'm doing Sister Speaks, where we bring women, educate women, because education for me is really important. I have a background in education, and allowing women to learn from each other, that for me is my in. And that's why like Sister Speaks means so much to me. And for me, I've always said I aspire to inspire before I expire, and I want to be a voice for the voiceless. So if I can help other people have a voice and speak out, then I'm winning, mate.
Yeah. Awesome. Yes. My story is a bit different. I was born by a teenage mom, and she was denied a second chance to go back to school. And that's like 50 years ago. And to think that there are girls today going through the same thing because of restriction, challenges, inequalities that deny them a shot at education, including other things like menstrual health. So as Lash mentioned, we have an organization or the CSR component of Sister Speaks that raises awareness on period poverty or lack of menstrual products and education. So for me, it was very important to create a space where we can exist as women, develop our voice and just say, this is our power, reclaim our power, that this is how we're going to exist on out. Because a society dictates that women should be married before 30 because there's a bell. That bell doesn't exist. If anything, it's like those city clocks that don't work in Nairobi.
Ain't that a fact? Clicks fingers.
Yes. And the essence of this is reacting to these stereotypes, these narratives, these different ideas that make and shape women, that we should be this and this because the society requires, or we should prepare or, you know, yearn to be the trophy wife. Mm-hmm. Yet, who teaches the men to be the trophy husbands?
Girl. Questions. These are the questions we're going to be having. Conversations. So for me, in terms of a sisterhood in my journey, my roots are in the U.S. And, you know, when you talk about manifesting an idea, when I was in university, I went to a small university in Malibu, and there was five of my friends, and we actually used to call our meetup Sister Speak. So like fast forward years later, right here in Nairobi, Kenya, the three of us came together and actually created an organization called Sister Speaks. But it was born out of, you know, us being minority students and not having anyone else to relate to. So, you know, coming together as sisters and seeing where we relate, where we cross over, instead of letting society define who you're going to be or what expectations they have for you. You know, we challenge each other to level up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We are three women on one mission.
Yes.
And we continue being a force field in this space and trying to, you know, get other women to do so. So I think Mo is best to introduce the purpose and around why we want to overreact. And then we'll be telling you a bit about our stories, about how we, you know, learned or maybe came to the understanding that we are women.
I think the essence of overreact, as we said, is basically having women to just live or thrive in a society where there's no box. And when I mean there's no box, you don't need to be married before 30. You don't need to dress in a way that the society approves. You, if anything, my dress, my choice. Mm-hmm. Yes. And the emergence of these trends that advocate for women to just own their voices, to open or, you know, create their own tables, because we are demanding for more tables. Yet maybe the table is taller than me. I create my own table. I create my own seat. You just have to let me do it the way I want. So the essence of this overreact is to say that we want to make our own tables and our own reality. And it doesn't have to be shaped by society, right?
Absolutely. And it's okay if we overreact.
Like, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with overreacting. Mm. And just to say, it wouldn't just be us like having the conversation. We're going to invite other women to overreact mm-hmm. with us. We're going to invite men to overreact with us. We'll be touching on, you know, current affairs, what's happening, what's trending, maybe our own personal experiences that we've gone through or the people that we invite and what they share. So we're really looking forward and to having more conversations and enlightening, changing the narrative and challenging you to see if you have unconscious biases that you're not aware of.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And girl, share with us what was your coming to woman moment? When did you know that, okay, I'm a woman? Because you were told or you kind of knew?
Yeah, so, okay, one thing about overreact, what are moments in life that did make us react? So my realizing I am a woman story, I never ever used to wear shorts in public. I think number one, because my African
and I don't know why. I would like to define that she should, because she would look really good.
She's a beauty queen.
She really is. Yes.
And so I just remember being 16, and I don't know what possessed me to decide, you know what, I'm gonna walk around, go to the corner store and wear short shorts. You know, it was sunny, it was summertime. It was appropriate. Guys in America always wear short shorts. So as I'm walking, there's a car that starts hooting at me and like waves me down to like stop at the sidewalk. And I get real nervous because I'm like, oh my gosh. So one of my Kenyan aunties getting ready to go report me to my parents that I'm out here walking in booty shorts in public.
And trust the African fear in you.
So then the car pulls over and a woman gets out and she gives me this business card. And I just remember her acrylic nails tapping on the card. And she just points to the card and she's like, this man is going to change your life. It says escort. So at 16, I didn't even know what an escort was. So I was just like, okay. And I have my little lasso. So I just tie my lasso back and I just quickly go to my aunt's house. And I remember just keeping the card so like later on I could Google and find out what is an escort. But to know that, you know, trafficking, those things are real. It happens. You're just, you know, innocently taking a walk during the day, going to get, you know, whatever from the corner store. And here is another woman recruiting young underage girls into these circles, you know.
That is wild. Did you ever like see her again? Or
I never saw her again. But for some reason I had kept that card because I was like, not that I thought about going into it, but it was just a very odd and startling experience. It's something that I've never forgotten.
You didn't share it with like your peers? And do you know if anyone has experienced something like that?
I think I might have told my best friend or my cousin, but of course I never told my aunt, my mother, anything, because I didn't even have business walking out there with shorts anyway. So
they, you know what, they would beat you for wearing shorts.
You know,
it wouldn't be about the woman giving you a card, it would be about you and how you
so to know at 16 that I had, you know, a body that could attract negative attention that I wasn't looking for, what I wasn't inviting, that's when I knew I was a woman.
Okay. Okay, what about you?
I think I've talked about it before. I grew up in a very traditional Kikuyu household.
Okay.
And I remember I was sitting down and my shosho told me I should sit like a girl and not like a boy. I didn't know what that meant. I was like, okay, I'm sitting right. And she told me, I'm going to switch it up kidogo. Ikarawega kana gwekie geshiga. It means she wanted to shove the burning firewood, which was like scary.
Where did she want to shove it so that people can...
Well, between my thighs, because I was not sitting like a girl.
Okay.
And that was like, oh my god. From then on I was like, okay, I should always close my legs.
And how old were you then?
I think I was 13 or even 11.
That's so traumatic.
Yeah, because I was in upper school. So it was just scary. And you know, other things that reminded me of you know, I'm a woman, is when I was in high school. And it was not traumatizing that like what my shosho told me. Because I remember in our dormitory you would either share a cubicle or you share a cubicle when you're bathing. So this girl called Sophie, she was like, why are you always hiding? Because I was so, like, my self-esteem growing up as a dark-skinned girl, I've been told you look like your dad, you know, the way you're told, like, oh, you look like your dad, so I look like a man. Fine, thank you. So I grew up with this low self-esteem, and when this girl called Sophie told me, oh my god, you're very curvy, that was like the moment I was like, oh my god, wow. Then I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If another woman can, recognize, you know, affirm that. Yeah.
Right.
And for a while, I was not existing as a woman because I didn't have anyone mold me into coming of a woman.
Yeah. And recognizing your traits and your beauty and
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Another conversation that we're going to be having, the colorism that exists in African households. We're going to react a bit, you know, about this conversation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mine's a bit traumatic. I got my first job when I was 16, and funny enough, I think they thought I was older than 16. And so I got my first job was a supervisor, and I came home and I was like, mom and dad, they've hired me as a supervisor. They're like, wow, that's your first job. I said, I know. And then like they trained me, and then later one of the people training me, she's like, you're 16. I was like, I mean, I figured you guys know my age and are comfortable hiring me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But they'd already, as I've signed the contract, they've already hired me. They can't fire me. So I used to, where we used to live was like about like a good 20-minute walk to get to the train station. This is in England, by the way. So I would, you know, wake up in the morning, walk towards the train station, and then you know, get my train and then go to work. So I started noticing this car like following me, and it started getting closer to where I live, and it was a man. And then he started getting braver and like stopping his car and then asking me to go in. I'm thinking, I'm a child, what the hell? And I remember a couple of times my aunt, I used to bump into my aunt like walking to the house, and she'd be like, you're right. And so she started to notice the car, and I didn't know. So one day I just like ran into a shop and just waited in the shop because I knew he couldn't stop because of a traffic light. There was no way, he wasn't able to stop. It was an illegal place he could stop. And so that's when I thought, wait, if this man thinks of me as not a girl, as a woman, that means, okay, cool. So like I need to also change how I look at myself. I need to not see myself as just a girl. I also need to think of myself as a woman and just realize that there will be other people who won't realize that I'm just a 16-year-old girl. Long of the short, I did report him to the police, and they did the necessary. They never did find him, and at least he never followed me again. But that was my traumatic reality of, I need to not look at myself as just a young girl. Now I need to see myself as a woman who has a weekend job. And you know, there've been other instances where I've realized there's certain parts about me that are more attractive to the opposite sex. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Right. So guys are starting to notice me. And so just realizing that, and, you know, when you're growing up, I'm sure we've all had the same experiences where we are not quite comfortable with the body changes and what have you. And so just realizing, oh, one day I have boobs. Oh, okay. Next day, oh, I have hips.
Yeah, that whole adolescence.
I have boobs. I have a bum and everything, and hips. So, like, yeah, just coming to that realization and then finding my way to confidence and stuff. So, yeah, my traumatic realization that I'm no longer a girl. I'm a big mama. Yes, I'm a woman. So, you know, that's the journey of womanhood, and it's been an interesting one so far, one full of challenges. I think we can all sit here and claim that and state that.
Definitely.
And I'd love to know, like, for anyone who's listening, and you know, you can tell us, especially men, when they realized what a woman is, you know, and when that changed for them, and also hormones. Mm-hmm. Like, when was the first time you guys were attracted to the opposite sex, and you felt, oh, okay, hello, how are you?
I don't
doing?
Know, I feel like I've always had crushes, even from when I was a kid.
Really? I think mine were really, well, I guess my first boyfriend was at 11, but like, I think the first, like, realizing that I'm really attracted to people is 16, because my room was surrounded by posters. I had like Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, and I would put them in my ceiling as well, so that when I wake up, the first thing, yeah, my Hollywood boyfriends, Asha, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio was like my number one crush. Yeah.
Well, I was a church girl, so.
Oh, you weren't allowed to have any
crushes?
I was
also a church girl, you know. But I had little church crushes too.
I think I was other people's crushes.
Oh, okay. Mm. And how do you know you were other people's crushes? Did you come
because
and tell you?
I said it.
What about you? What was your first, like, major crush? Actually, there's a story you should share. Your dad didn't.
Oh my goodness. I have so many African father moments and stories. But yeah, so, you know, in America, things are pretty liberal. Kids start dating very early. And I remember when I was transitioning from middle school, which ends at class 8, going into high school, my dad just saw the high school near our house, and he saw some two teenagers holding hands, and he was like, So he sent me to an all girls school, and single sex education is not very common in America. But yeah, so I went to an all-girls school, and at the end of my 4 years, we have prom. So prom is a really big dance, and I had to find a date. So I called one of my friends from middle school. I was like, yo, come through for prom. So he comes, he picks me up, and he tells my dad, oh, Mr. Kimani, you know, my mom would like to get pictures of us before we go for prom. So my dad's like, oh, you know, the guy comes, picks me up. My dad's like, okay, that's fine. I'll follow you guys.
What?
So here's my dad. He gets in his big minivan, and he's following us. And I tell that boy, I said, do not put your hand near me. Like, make sure there's a big old gap, because I'm like, I know my dad's watching. So we get to the mother's house, and I was just like, just shaking my head. So prom happens. We get official photos at prom. the pictures come.
Wait,
and they get.
Can I just ask, your dad's with you? He's come to the dance and everything.
No, he just makes sure we get there safe.
Okay. And was he waiting for you to pick you up?
Nah, he actually went home.
Okay.
But then 2 weeks later, the official photos from prom come out. They get delivered to our house. So I call the guy. I'm like, yo, the photos are here. Come through and pick them up.
And his hand was by your waist.
Hey. So the doorbell rings and my dad answers the phone and he's like, oh, hey, hi, how are you? Come in. So I just hear my dad calling me, Angela, come to the kitchen. So, you know, my dad calls me to the kitchen. I'm like, yeah, what's up? He's like, Angela, your friend is here. He can't keep coming to this house every day, every day. And I'm thinking, this man just came to pick me up for prom and came to pick up photos. But in my dad's head, this boy's coming to the house every day now. Wow. And yeah, that was just part of... Transition.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So as we wrap it up, let's, I guess, wrap it up with how do you guys, our parting shot would be, how do you define being a woman for you? Like what does being a woman feel?
You know, being my authentic self, there's something that I read. We are conditioned as women to be enough for other people, but not enough for us. So I want to be enough for me. I don't want to be enough for the society, you know, because you're supposed to be a great mother, a great sister, a great friend, a great supporter, a great member of the society. But when do I get to get great or to be great for me? So I want to be for me first. And I think this is the essence of this conversation, to remind women to put themselves first. Mm. Yeah. And it's okay. Even if you're labeled, oh, you're so emotional. You always overreact. Are you on your period? So because you're acting this way. So I think the essence of this conversation is just to make people uncomfortable with these different labels that kind of like want to shrink women for existing and for being who they are. So for me, being a woman is just existing and creating my own path, regardless of whoever is watching, whoever wants to drop labels on me. So yeah, that's my journey.
Wow. I think, you know, Mo, you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about being emotional. I think we're always made to hush and quiet ourselves down, you know, to shrink ourselves often. And for me, as a woman, I just constantly try and do my best to be present and holistically accept myself. Because as women, we are nurturing, we give life to others. And yeah, so woman, be present and be unapologetically yourself.
For me, being a woman is, I break down that name and it's the whoa the man needs. You know, I came here to bring the spice, the taste. I came here to bring flavor, because life would be really boring without us women. So, and there would be no life. So that's five for me. I think women needs to just realize that they're their whoa the man was looking for, and the human space the entire world needed.
The wonder of man.
And, you know, just to see yourself as special, and you have everything and anything in within your power to do, and like removing those limitations. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. You have been listening to the Overreact podcast,
and where we build community and conversations and react to the box that doesn't exist.
Yes, so make sure you keep it locked right here, and we'll catch you all again where we overreact.
Yes, I'm Mo, and I am a woman, and I choose to react.
I'm Angela. I am a woman, and I choose to react.
I am Lash, and I am a woman, and I choose to always react.
So, sisters, let's
overreact.